Glad you're here, brother. Want to welcome everybody online. You're our digital disciples, and we are thankful for you as well as here in person, also in the commons, in the cafeteria. Over the last month, I've met a number of people who have come to visit saying, you're our home church, even though we live in a different state. They don't have a church like this where they live, and so they tune in every day, or every weekend, and every once in a while they get down here in person. And so we want to also greet all of you that this is your home church, even though you don't live in this area. I know many watch online because, illnesses and keep them, or maybe they're traveling, but I'm glad to see not everybody left town for spring break. Look around, man. I didn't know if there's going to be many people here. Everybody's talking about spring break and everybody's gone, but thank you for being here in the house of the Lord today. Well, I'm Dave, one of the pastors here, and just so glad that you're here. I want to welcome all the new people who are here. You're visiting, maybe you're checking out to see whether God might call you to this be your church home. I just invite you out into our commons. We always have free coffee out there. You can see a picture of our commons. It's right out here to my right. We always have free coffee before and after services. We have a full cafe out there. But in the center is an information center where we have some volunteers, usually pastors out there, to answer questions you might have, meet you. We'd love to meet you if you're new here. We have a baptism coming up today. Is there anyone here right now that's getting baptized? Just raise your hand up if you are. Awesome. Awesome. Those of you who are getting baptized. We have 40 people signed up to be baptized, and it's not too late. Every time we do this at the church, we always get people that God speaks to them while they're here, and they get baptized in their clothes. Hey, I think it's great. We had one person once in a full suit get baptized. Praise the Lord. But we have baptism right after this service in the cafe, playground. So excited about the baptism. And I would encourage you, if you're not getting baptized, just go out there for a little while and just congratulate those that are getting baptized. It's so special. We have a Day of Compassion coming up on April 12th, where we take a Saturday morning and we disperse hundreds of you out into the community to serve. And Pastor Norm will be out in our missions alcove out there to answer questions you might have, help you get signed up. We are well on our way of getting the hundreds of people that we need. We have 40 projects around the county, and so please take that step and sign up for Day of Compassion. On Saturday the 22nd, so this coming Saturday, we have a seminar here in our chapel at 10 a.m. It's preparing to leave an eternal legacy, where we have some experts in helping you understand how to be extra generous at your time of passing from earth to heaven, and where you can continue the gospel work that I'm sure you love to see happen even after you leave. And it can be about great strategies on giving, not only to your family, but also to the work of the Lord. And so we'll have an estate planning attorney and a financial planner that will give a presentation. You're not going to be sold anything, okay? They're all people in our church body that are just doing to share information. And I've been to these in the past, and they're really helpful. And then something we haven't done ever before, just announcing, probably be full on Monday, is our Footsteps of Moses tour. We're going to Egypt. This is in April of next year. My wife and I will be leading a group. But from Egypt, we're going to cross the Red Sea. I don't think it's going to part. If it doesn't, we'll take a ferry. We go into Saudi Arabia, and we're going to go to the real Mount Sinai there, see the rock that's split with water flowed out, the oasis that Moses went, and then we're going to make our way up into Jordan and go to Petra and end up on Mount Nebo, where Moses was at, where he saw the promised land, but he wasn't able to go in. And so we're going to see the pyramids, the Sphinx. It's going to be an incredible trip. Information is online about that under events section, Footsteps of Moses. So with that, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I titled this message, The Path of Spiritual Maturity. Today we're going to talk about spiritual growth, because that's what Paul was talking about with the church in Corinth. And let me just set the stage. Corinth was a church that he started in Greece. He loved these people. It grew, became very prominent. Paul went to other places to do ministry. He'd actually spent 18 months there, so he laid a good foundation. But then the church started to get worldly, and he got word of it, so he writes this letter that we know of as 1 Corinthians to try to correct some of the problems. And that's why this whole series is called Messy People, Mighty God. So let's start, verse 1, chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, so right away he's addressing them as believers, okay? Sometimes when you read about them, you're going to wonder, are these guys really believers or not? But you can be a believer in Jesus and still have a messy life, right? Yeah, I look around, I see some of you, okay? We've all been there. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. You're going to see Paul mention and call them worldly, or that they're living worldly, three times in three verses. He's got a strong message. He wanted them living by the Spirit, that they would be growing in their spiritual walk with the Lord. Instead, they're worldly, mere infants in Christ. In other words, they're not growing. They're just like where they were when they got saved. Verse 2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. So Paul was wanting them to grow, and he said, I gave you milk, milk being like the representative of the basics of how we get saved, our salvation, you know, the gospel. But then it goes beyond that. He wanted to give them solid food, but they were stuck at the milk stage. And speaking of milk, you know it's coming, don't you? If a milk cow can't produce milk, is it either an utter failure or is it a milk dud? And if they die, did they kick the bucket? Okay. They do not pay me to be a comedian, so you get what you pay for, okay? I'll just say that. So Paul is admonishing these people. They're still infants. You're not able to have more of the deeper things. Verse 3, you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, see, that was some of the evidence that they were still worldly, is what was coming out of their mouths. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? When he called them mere humans, what he's talking about is humans that had not been, you know, they're acting like people who hadn't been saved yet, that didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. Verse 4, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Paul is addressing that back from what he talked about in chapter 1 when they were all divided about who they follow. And really, when I was thinking about this, they say, you know, like a picture is like worth 1,000 words. So I was thinking, these people were like adult babies. I think I have a picture of what this looked like, okay? They needed to grow, and they were still stuck at the infant stage, okay? So, but I'm going to share with you four principles today on spiritual growth that I believe that we can all be putting into practice in our lives, because every one of us should be growing spiritually. No matter what stage you're at, me included, we all need to grow spiritually. So here's our first one. Live by the Spirit and not by the worldly desires. See, we live in the world. Jesus talked about it. You're in the world, but you're not to be of the world. And it's really hard because sometimes people, because they are in the world, they live like the world. But we're called to live differently. We're called to live by the Spirit. I can't think of a better passage than what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John. You'll see it up on the screen, describing how the world thinks, how the world operates. It says, do not love the world. And by the way, that's not the planet Earth. This is the world system. The world system that's corrupt. It's under a curse. It's where Satan and the demonic operate within the world system. Do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. That's pretty strong words. Jesus said something similar. You can't have two masters. You can't love God and love money at the same time. They're competing against each other. So it says, for the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and now he's going to list three things We're going to unpack those a little bit more. Three things that are part of the world: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. If you look at the three temptations that Jesus had when he was tempted in the desert, remember he had fasted 40 days, each one of those temptations fit one of those three. If you looked at the temptation of Eve to eat the fruit in the book of Genesis, you'll see those three things mentioned in there. Satan does not have a big playbook, so to speak. He tempts us in those three areas. So let's talk about what those three are. They're really sinful desires from the world. First of all, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is the desire to feel. I got to feel something. Addictions. It could be alcohol addiction, drug addiction. It could be to pornography or immoral relationships. It's like, I got to have this. I got to have this to feel something. That's the lust of the flesh. Then there's the lust of the eyes. I see it. I got to have it. Be careful when you're on Amazon, right? Because this can be a sinful desire too. When you read about and see about hoarding, it's like, I got to have it. I have plenty of this, but I got to have more. I can never have enough. It's like, it's a desire to have. This is where greed comes in. And then the pride of life. This is a sinful desire that I've got to be someone. People got to notice me. They got to lift me up. So often people get caught up into this. Like, I got to have power and I got to have a certain title. And this is that desire to be. Those are all worldly type of desires that the enemy has coming from the world system, so to speak. And we're going to contrast here with what God wants for us as Christians, but that's the flesh part, the flesh being our sinful self-centeredness, okay? Now, Paul didn't say they weren't saved, but they were acting that way. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Now we're going to look at living by the Spirit. Galatians 5, starting verse 16. Paul says this to the churches in Galatia. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." That's another word for live by the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit's kind of in control. "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." We just talked about the desires of the flesh. "For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." You know, people live today by, well, if I can do anything I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. If it feels good, do it. No, we are called as believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're called to live differently. We are called to live by the Spirit and not by the desires of our flesh. And I know sometimes it gets really hard because, like I said, we live in the world. The world has its pull on us and so forth. And I believe our Christian journey of from the time we get saved to our end goal is to be more like Jesus all the time, that we're growing. We're never going to be God, so don't get that in your head. But we're becoming more and more like Jesus. As we grow, the world has less and less influence over us. And this is a part of letting go. I think about my journey of walking on April 3rd coming up. I'm going to be a Christian for 44 years. Yes. So I'm claiming that as my birthday, okay? So I'm about to be 44, okay? But over that 44 years, so many things have changed in my life. The things that the world used to pull me into and draw me into just don't have the same effect anymore. Why? Because I've yielded to living by the Spirit. And if you were to go on and keep reading Galatians 5, it would then tell us what the list of the flesh is. Anger and sexual immorality and drunkenness. Then it tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is. That's what the fruit is, what is to be coming out of our lives. And so that's why Paul was talking to them. He says, I want you to be living by the Spirit, but you're not. You're worldly. You're not growing. So we want to live by the Spirit and not by worldly desires. for many years, I went down to Mazatlan, Mexico, to YWAM, and Barbara and I would go down there and teach, and oftentimes I would be teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I would take that Galatians 5 that we just talked about, this conflict between the spirit and the flesh, and I would do a little thing in front of them where we do a tug of war, and I'd have one student that said flesh or body on one side, and then I'd have another one had on the other end of the rope that said spirit, and they were pulling against each other. They're in conflict. And I would say, who's going to win? And then I would put one on that said soul. You know, our soul is where we make up our mind, our will and emotions. Our soul is where we make decisions. And I would say, who's going to win is who I'm going to help pull with. So if I come over here and pull with the spirit, man, the spirit's going to be stronger, right? But what if I don't? If I decide to go the way of the flesh, the body, whatever feels good, do it, then I'm going to win. Because those two are always in conflict. And that's why it says live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit. That's for us to make that decision, for us and our soul to decide who we're going to follow. Now, there's another part of spiritual maturity that, you look at it on the screen. And that is being able to teach others is a sign of Christian growth and maturity. Can you teach others the foundational truths of God's Word? Could you explain to somebody and teach them about the reason why baptism is so important, or the Trinity, or about spiritual warfare, some of those type of topics? This is a sign of spiritual growth and maturity. Obviously, these people, if they were still worldly, they couldn't do that. The writer of Hebrews deals with the same topic here. I think we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I personally believe it was Paul, but we don't know that. It's not stated. But look what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies, we already talked about that, who need milk and cannot eat solid food. So think about it with your life. Are you in a position where you can teach others? Can you disciple others? Remember, the call of Jesus to all of us is to go and make disciples. Can you teach others, or do you need to still learn the basic principles from God's Word? This is a sign. Now, I'm happy to tell you, and I think we try hard, and we're not perfect at this as a church. We try hard not to just tell you what not to do and what to do without giving you opportunities to do it. If you've been around here a long time, you know that we don't want to just teach you principles and then walk away. In other words, I'm not going to say, you just need to grow and be gone. Next topic. What we came up with, the Lord gave us about 6 or 7 years ago, is a plan to take people through one-on-one discipleship. You've heard me talk about it from time to time. And we just did the first revision of the book. We actually put a new cover with it. You'll see the picture up on the screen. We actually titled it, Come Follow Me. Remember our title of our series in January? Come Follow Me, One-on-One Discipleship. 95% of what's in this book is still the same as the old book. The old book was a blue one. What we did was we revised it. We made it easier to read. We formatted a little bit different, easier to put answers into it. And we did a few modifications to some things that we felt like needed to be beefed up a little bit, or some things that they were just called to make some changes with edits. Since we did this about 6 years ago, we've taken hundreds of people through one-on-one discipleship. Well, we match them with a mentor, somebody who wants to be discipled. They get together on their own terms. They find a place to meet, and they go through it. There's 10 lessons in here. I want to talk to you about it. Because if you're here today and you say, well, I'm a strong believer, I can teach people, great, we need more mentors. If you're like, man, I couldn't teach anybody. If somebody came and asked me to explain and to teach what the Trinity is and use Scripture to do it, I couldn't do that. Maybe you need to build on your biblical foundation. That's what this is for. It's not just for new believers. It's so that you can have the basics. And I just want to go through there's 10 lessons in here. A student will go through here. It takes them about an hour per lesson, and they will look up the answers to questions from the Word of God. I don't want you just to go by what Calvary Chapel says. I want you to go by what does the Bible say with these questions. So here's the first one. Who is God? Our next one, our identity in Christ and baptism. The church, groups, and fellowship is week three. Week four, devotional life. How to have a devotional life. Next one is about relationships. How to have godly relationships. Week six is on spiritual gifts and giving. Week seven is a really important one because there's so much misinformation. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Week eight is also very important. They're all really good. And every one of these were written by one of us pastors. Week eight is about temptation and spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is real. We all face it. But sometimes people are defeated in spiritual warfare and other people see the victory. How can you be on the victorious side? Week nine is sharing the gospel and your testimony. And week 10 is faith and the seven discipleship values that we taught in the month of January here. And so we do not charge for the book. You'll see two books on the screen because one is a mentor guide that we give the mentors. And then if you're a student, you get the other guide. And all you have to do is go onto our website under Connect. And you'll find discipleship there, and you can sign up to be a mentor, or you can sign up to be discipled. We always match up man with man, female with female, and we put you together. We try to, look at ages and geography and that type of thing as well. But we want to help you grow from wherever you're at. And for those of you that are more mature and strong in the Lord, if you want to be a mentor, we'll take more mentors. Just since I did this last night, we've had a lot of people sign up already and want to be discipled. So I believe that it's always hard because sometimes we have more mentors. Sometimes we have more people that want to be discipled. And so it's always like matching up. It's kind of like a dating app, okay? We matching you up. But I tell you what, it is so important. I love when I walk into our commons, and it happens just about every day, and I see people out in our commons going through the books together. Great relationships are developed between a mentor and a disciple. It's not counseling. It's learning the basics of the biblical truths from Scripture. When I got saved, a guy named Ted from my church took me through a similar program. That's why I felt so strong about it. We went through a workbook called Firm Foundation, and he took me through these lessons. I did the same thing, looked them up in the Bible. We would get together, talk about it. When I was done, he says, okay, you finished. You learned this stuff. Now I want you to disciple someone else. Really, that's our goal for you, that at the end, you could be able to turn around and disciple someone else. And you don't have to do the matching through us. You could disciple a family member. I know dad's doing this with kids or mom's doing it with kids. You could do it with coworkers. It's best one-on-one, but sometimes it's one with several people, in a small group and so forth. But I just want to encourage you, discipleship, this is a tangible way you can do what we just talked about and what Paul's saying. Let's keep going. Verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants. And that's a good thing for all of us to keep in mind. It's never about us. We're there just to serve. Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. In other words, every one of us in the body of Christ have different tasks. My task may be to be up here, to be pastoring, teaching, leading. But that does not make me more important in the kingdom of God than the people right now that are operating our cameras, people that are teaching your kids in the kids ministry, people that helped you find places to park. We're all in the body of Christ. We're all just servants. This is what Paul is trying to emphasize here. Verse 6, I planted the seed, that being the word of God with these people. Apollos, he watered it, but God has been making it grow. Do you know one thing? We cannot make people grow spiritually. That's up to God. I might be sowing some seed in some of your lives right now. For some of you, I might be watering it. But it's up to God to make it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. See, God knows how to keep us humble, right? but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. So here's our second point. Spiritual growth is to humbly serve the Lord with others. We have to do it humbly. We have to realize we're just servants. It's not about us. It's all about God. We want to humbly serve the Lord in whatever task he's given to us. And this is an important thing because every one of you have a role. And I know many of you, I know hundreds of you, if not thousands, are serving the Lord here in different capacities. And it's always such a joy. We have so many different opportunities. Some of you are serving outside the church. It's not because we need more volunteers, okay? It's because this is how God's wired us. This is the purpose in life that he's given to us. And so he wants us to be humble, though, and never make it about ourselves. I remember sometimes this happens where people are serving for a while and they stop serving. And we'll ask, well, what happened to so-and-so? Why aren't they serving anymore? Well, they quit because they didn't feel appreciated. See, I personally have a problem with that. I'm not serving you. I'm serving God. Whether I get thanks or not, it's nice to get a pat on the back. Oh, that feels good and so forth. But we are serving God. So if you're not thanked by man, that's okay because you're serving God. And he's the one it matters the most. And he's the one who sees. You know what he also says? And he's the one who rewards. Which, look up on the screen. Here's the next thing, is that God eternally rewards those who serve him. All throughout the scripture, you'll find it talking, and we even have another one coming up in this chapter. God talks about rewarding. Now, don't be selfish. Don't be like, I'm in this to get as many rewards as possible. When I get to heaven, you're going to see me, and I have all these rewards. That's not why God put it in there. He's showing us, though, what's important in life. So we don't do it for rewards because then we're doing it with the wrong motive. We do it because we love the Lord. But he's saying, some of these things are so important, I want you to know, I'm going to reward you in heaven. I think it's bad when sometimes people put all their emphasis in trying to do things here on earth to gain as much whatever temporary things, and then they're going to get to heaven, they're going to be broke. This is God's economy. It's different. Remember, he's the one, store up treasure in heaven, not here on earth. So he rewards. And our rewards are based on our faithfulness, not our role. You're not going to be rewarded against me. It's really about your potential and have you been faithful in doing what he's called you to do. There's only one thing that we really want to hear when we get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servants. Think about those two things. There's only two things. Faithful and servant. For all of us, are you faithful? Are you a servant? Those are the two things. Okay, verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation. So now he's getting ready to move from agriculture to architecture. Okay? I laid the foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, the foundation is the most important part of a building, but yet you don't see the foundation usually. Remember when Peter was with Jesus? He said, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this is the rock on which I'm going to build my church. He didn't mean Peter himself. He meant the confession of Peter, which was Jesus. The foundation of the church, whatever we're supposed to be building in life, is to be on Jesus. That's what Paul's saying here too. Verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light, that day being judgment day. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Not the quantity of work, is it? The quality. And if what has been built survives, the builder will what? Receive a reward. There he is again. But if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. This showing that our salvation is not based on our works, but our rewards are based on our faithfulness. So here's our third point. Build on the foundation of Jesus with godly motives. The wood, hay, and the stubble represent ungodly motives, worldly motives. But the gold, silver, and precious stone deal with more of the eternal. When the fire comes, those things are going to remain where the other stuff burn up. So we want to build on the foundation of Jesus with godly motives. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 2. All a person's ways are pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. See, I can't see your motives. You might be doing really well in your life. You might be serving here at this church, and you may have great motives, but you may be serving this church with impure motives. I don't know, but the Lord knows. And I just want to share, I'm going to get real personal with you, because this passage means a lot to me. When we moved here from Iowa, I was pretty proudful, I'll just say it. I had a great career, spent 17 years with one company, moved up the ranks in the corporate world, did really well. Barb and I were real involved in church. I was an elder at the church. I was teaching on a regular basis. We were leading a couples ministry called Home Improvement. We had a lot of friends and people in the church. And I was thinking, all this time, I want to move to Florida, man. I would love to. Oh, if only I could move to Florida, have a swimming pool, and live on a lake, I'll have it made. I'll be set. You know what God did? He allowed us to move to Florida, have a swimming pool, and live on a lake. But you know what? It didn't change one single thing in my heart. And the first 6 months after moving here, I went through some deep, dark brokenness. This passage of Scripture became very real because I felt like the fire of the Holy Spirit was burning some wood, some hay, and some straw out of my heart, out of my life. I'd really had a lot of pride in the career that I had, and I went to work for a company, and all of a sudden this company, which I thought was one thing, became something very different, began to fledgle, and I ended up just seeing the downfall of that company, and it was like God was burning the pride that I had in my career and just burning that out of me. And then, you know, I was real involved in church and come down here, and I was like, I didn't know anybody. They wouldn't even let me serve the first 6 months. Some of you run into that, okay? And it was like I had a lot of pride in doing all these things for the Lord, and all of a sudden I couldn't. And it was like burning. And what God was showing me was I had this life, but I had a lot of pride in my life. And the Holy Spirit was needing to burn that out. Why? So he could replace it with more of his qualities. See, I believe that gold, the silver, and the precious stone as eternal things with right motives. Some of you right now are building your life, and you're building it with wood, hay, straw. Others of you are building it with the precious stone, gold, and silver. I'm just here to tell you, I don't believe, because of what my experience has been and based on this scripture, that we have to wait till judgment day to have it burned up. I believe God put it in his word so we could know ahead of time, so we can deal with it and get it gone. Amen? Because I really believe that God was preparing his people. He wants us to grow. And I know one thing. When I came here, 3 weeks after I came to this church and we moved here, I told Barb, I said, I know God has called me to ministry, and I feel like I need to say yes to the calling of God, because I had walked away from my calling before. And when I said yes to God, I felt like the next thing he said was prepare. And I'm thinking prepare like, okay, Bible college classes. You know what? Something much more than Bible college classes was needing to be done in me. And it was this burning this stuff out. I know there's no way I'd be up here teaching today had I not gone through that brokenness. Some of you are at that stage right now. God is calling you to something, but you've been building with wrong material. Let the Holy Spirit be speaking to you right now. You know what you've been building your life with. Is it temporal or is it eternal things? I'm reminded of the story of the silversmith. A silversmith will take the silver mixed with all the other materials and they put it in a big pot. You probably heard this. And then they heat it up, get it super hot till it becomes molten. And the impurities, the dross, comes to the top of the liquid silver, and that silversmith will very carefully skim the top off. And he keeps heating it up. And more impurities come, and he skims it off. And the silversmith knows when it's done is when he can look into it and see his reflection. I want you to think about God and you. God wants to see his reflection in you and me. And sometimes the heat that we're going through, the trials that we're going through, is to bring some of these impurities to the top so we can deal with them. If you excuse them, don't deal with them, sweep them under the rug, nothing changes. It'll eventually get dealt with, but I'd rather deal with it now than wait until judgment day. Am I right? And remember, when I say judgment day, that's the bema seat. That's where believers stand before Jesus, where we are rewarded for what we've done. Our sins have already been judged. We don't go to the great white throne judgment, okay? Don't anybody think that. Our sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. But there's still a judgment time that comes for us based on what he has asked us to do in our lives and so forth. Let's hit the last two verses here. Verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. First of all, let me tell you what that's not saying. Because I was raised in a church, and some of you were probably raised in a church, that taught, using these two verses, that if you committed suicide, you were going to hell. It's not the case. You're only going to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ. Now, God doesn't approve of suicide, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about, it's a plural when it talks about you yourselves. Who's the temple talked about here? It's talking about the church. We ourselves. He's pluralized it, and he says it at the very end of 17. You together are that temple. Now, in chapter 6, we'll get to in a few weeks, he does talk about our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, very different. But here, he's talking about us together. And in the original language, the word temple is not the big building that people would come to worship God in Jerusalem. It was actually in the center part, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt, and the high priest could come in only one day a year. That's what he's talking about, where his presence dwells. See, the church is the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And what he's saying there, if somebody tries to destroy the church, God will destroy them. And when you read destroy, it does not mean he's going to damn you, he's going to condemn you, he's not going to kill you. What it means in the original language, that word diminish, it means diminish. That word destroy means diminish. In other words, you try to destroy God's church, he will diminish you. Which leads us to our fourth and last spiritual growth principle, and that is this: build up the church with words and actions. Don't tear it down. Over the years, I've seen a lot of this where people tear down pastors, church leaders. They tear down the church. Maybe you came from another church and there was a lot of issues and problems and you're still talking about them. Don't do that. Build up the church. Now, what about if there's a problem? Because nobody's perfect. This is not a perfect church. If you're here visiting, thinking, man, they got it all together. No, we don't. We're not a perfect church. You see something, pray for the church. Build it up with your prayers. Be a part of a solution instead of finding maybe a critical area. But if there is something major that needs to be dealt with, then come to one of the pastors, come one of the elders. You can find us all on the website. You can email us directly from the website. Let us know or meet with us, because we do have ways to deal with things. But here's what you don't want to do. You see a problem in the church? Well, I'm just going to go and tell this person. I'm going to tell this person. Oh, in my group, I got my group. I'm going to tell my group what's going on. That's what Paul's addressing. That's what's not right. You're tearing down his temple, his body, and he will deal with you personally. It's pretty strong words, but it's God's word. You can see it right there. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about us as an individual, that God's going to, because we destroyed the temple by taking our own life. That's not what that verse said. Okay. So we wrapped up the verses that we're going to cover today. But as I was preparing this message, I felt real strong about how we were to close things differently. And I have a personal reflection time that I want all of us to go through. You can find these notes online. You can find them in our app. More and more of you are taking the app and you're following along because we have all of our scriptures. All of our points are in the app. You can find them in our notes section. But you can take a photo of this. You can go and find it. But here's what I'm asking you to do. This is homework for you. Okay? I want you to reflect on these questions. Sometime today when you're by yourself, maybe tomorrow when you're having your quiet time, I really believe that God is asking each and every one of us to reflect on these questions. I can't answer these for you. It's between you and God, but I believe God has these questions for you to reflect on. Number one, where am I at in my spiritual growth? Did I give my life to Jesus 10 years ago, but I'm still stuck at the infant stage? Okay? Only you can answer that. I can't. Number two, am I serving Jesus in humility alongside others? For some of you, you're not serving. You're not giving. It's all about you. Or maybe you're serving and giving, but you're looking for what you can get out of it. You're not doing it in humility. Number three, am I building my life on the foundation of Jesus with godly motives? You know, am I building with eternal material, or is it the things of this world? And number four, am I building up the church or tearing it down with my words? And then see, in this particular one, if you find that you've been critical, you've been saying things, and I'm not saying this because I believe there's some big problem going on. I believe we're very healthy right now. Not always been that way, but I really believe we're healthy right now. But you know whether you've been doing this on the side with people that you're around, and if that's the case, you need to repent. You need to tell the Lord and be careful that you don't do that type of thing, or you won't be dealing with me. You'll be dealing with God on that one. So I'd love for you to all go through that personal reflection. I think it's going to be revealing to us as we take the time to talk to the Lord about it. And then, for example, if you find that you're still at the infant stage, sign up to be one-on-one discipled. Or maybe you're saying, man, I'm not serving right now. Where could I serve? I've been a Christian for a long time. I know the basics. I know the foundation. Maybe you want to be a mentor. Or maybe there's another place you would love to serve. And just go through there and find what, and if there's a motive that needs to change in your life. Maybe like where I was at. I served the Lord for many years, but it was full of pride. I feel so much better getting rid of that. That doesn't mean it doesn't still want to creep in at times, but. So let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here today, the message that you've given to us, and Lord, I pray that you would help us all to make sure that we are growing spiritually, that we're on the path of spiritual maturity, that you're taking us one step at a time. And for those who maybe are still at the infant stage, don't feel like they can teach others, Lord, I pray that you'd put it on their heart to sign up for one-on-one discipleship or get in a group of discipleship, some way that you can help them to be more intentional in learning the foundation of the faith. Lord, I pray for those who maybe they've had excuses on why they shouldn't serve or can't serve, or maybe they did it one time and they stopped for one reason or another. Lord, I pray you be speaking to them as well. Help all of us to reflect on our motives. Lord, I just pray if anybody here listening have been critical of the church or maybe a previous church that they've been a part of, Lord, I pray you'd help them to repent of that and to be a part of a solution, to pray for their church and their pastors and elders and be a part of building up the church and never tearing it down. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can't begin a spiritual journey without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. It starts by us surrendering our life to Jesus, saying that my sin has kept me from God, but I'm ready to repent of my sin, to change my old way of life. I want the forgiveness of my sins, and I know that forgiveness was paid for at the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ. And I'd love to pray with you. It seems simple. It is simple. It's not by works. It's a grace. It's a gift. But you must want it. You must want to follow Jesus. And if that's you today, would you just lift your hand up? I want to pray with you. Okay? Good? Others? You're not joining the church. We don't have membership. Good? Good? Others? Just raise it up high. You don't have to be ashamed. I'm not going to call you up. It's an act of faith that you're doing right now. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Numbers of people are raising their hands up. How about in the balcony? It's a little harder for me to see up there. Everybody up in the balcony had their hands up? Great. Great. Okay. If you have your hands up, you can put them down. Let me just lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of dedication of your life to Jesus Christ. It's not about the exact words, but it's about the meaning of it. You're praying from your heart to the Lord. I'm just guiding you in this prayer. So just pray it under your breath. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, but I know Jesus came to this earth. He lived a sinless life, and he willingly died on the cross to pay the penalty for all my sins. And then he rose on the third day. Please forgive me of all my sin as I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And please send your Holy Spirit to come live in me. Help me change my old way of life to follow Jesus from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we give a hand to those that prayed that prayer? Awesome. Awesome. I'll have some instructions for you here in a moment, but would you stand as we get ready to close with one last worship song? In a moment, we're going to be heading on over to the baptism, and those of you that are getting baptized, we're going to be excited for you. But if you raised your hand to receive Jesus Christ, I'm just going to encourage you. I want to take a few moments, but would you come down to the front at the end of the service? We'd love to congratulate you give you one of our New Believer Bibles that's just so important to help you in your spiritual journey with Christ. And if you have other prayer needs, our prayer team will be up here as well. Just a reminder, our offering boxes are by the back doors. Thank you for your giving to the work of the Lord here. You can always give online as well. And obviously, you can go congratulate those people getting baptized here in a moment, too. So God bless you and have a great week.